Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time to play the game. Just want to spit water out. You see McAfee's promo last night in Kansas City? He's going to fight Gunther at Backlash.
That looked good.
It was good. He sold it pretty well.
Yeah. I saw your tweet and then I went and watched it. I was like, yeah, pretty good.
He gave his whole backstory. It's good. It's good promo. For those of you that are nerds like myself that tap in, Raw was in Kansas City last night. So I figured, let's see how electric that crowd is. See how many Mahomes jerseys we see. And of course, right behind Michael Cole and Pat McAfee was a guy wearing a Mahomes jersey with a championship belt. I was like, knew it. You're always going to find in your hometown the jerseys, KC shirts, all the like heart t-shirts, and then Mahomes jerseys are just everywhere.
What are they like the most popular Kansas City shirts? It's Mahomes jersey, obviously, right? The Kansas City heart shirt may trump the Mahomes jersey because people have multiple of those, right?
Yeah, true. Like,
people have the red, the blue, the green, the, you know, all of the colors
and
of
designs,
those heart shirts,
yeah,
right?
We call that the Rat Pack of KC, like Sadakis Rudd and Stone Street. They all wear those heart t-shirts everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. And you start to see, I don't know if you see them in your neck of the woods, the LS for Lee Summit. We get some OPs for Overland Park and things like that. Yeah. Are you sure you haven't seen any LSs?
Well,
you see any BS shirts walking around for Blue Springs?
Back in the day.
You know, if people had that over there, INDEP, IND or something, your Independence, or RY if you're in Raytown.
I always remember people wore the Long Beach State hats.
What was their mascot?
LB. And just a white hat. Because back when I was a kid, like, it was cool to wear like collegiate hats that had funny like mascots.
Oh, yeah. South Carolina. I remember my first job, my boss got like, there were three guys working and they got us all the South Carolina hats.
Mm-hmm.
And Portland as well.
Oregon
State. No, it did not.
Yeah, they stopped it right after game.
Yeah.
It spelled the other word. And then it just said University of South Carolina in the most minute font.
Yeah.
Men's wieners.
I mean, they're selling them right now on Twitter. I'm getting served ads for those old school hats right now that you can buy. Oregon State was another one we had. Beavers. The Beaver. It's like when Greg Robinson wanted the team to play for the Beaver on defense and had a stuffed Beaver on the sidelines. That didn't work so good. Nice Beaver. But I think also, did Mac know that one? Did you?
No, he hasn't watched it yet. That starts in 2 days, by the way.
I was going to say, we're getting close.
Maybe you should start with Naked Gun.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that O.J. Simpson?
Norberg.
Yeah.
So you had a take last week and I'd kind of been like chewing on it for a little bit because I wanted to wait till after the draft, but you said that, and also Mahomes said he wants to get back to it. The high flying explosion of an offense.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't know because of how special it was. I wonder if, and I use this comparison the way that you use the NFL, like that was an historic offense.
No doubt.
Like that was up there with like that 07 Patriots. It was up there with that, 2012 Denver offense, whatever it was when they had all those numbers.
Yeah,
and
Manning had the 50 touchdowns. Before his neck fell off.
Yeah. Like I would love to see that, but like the offseason lets me know that the Chiefs have found a system and it's not that. Like, the reason I also bring this up is, like, yes, you've lost 91 catches in Hopkins, P. Ryan, and Watson. Those three guys are gone, and they had 91 catches last year. Worthy at 59 and close to 700 yards. Dusty, Rashee Rice, and Hollywood Brown are going to play the entire year. Well, one's going to be suspended for a little bit, if you didn't know. And they're going to have those guys back. Okay, so what does Worthy do? Because if Worthy's going to have this, if you're going to have this, you know, averaging 33 points a game, 29 and a half points a game, everybody's going to have huge numbers. That's just the way that that goes. Mm-hmm. But 91 catches between Hopkins, P. Ryan, and Watson is going to be divided through. I still think Kelsey's going to get his. He led the team in receiving yards last
year. Kelsey will have 90 catches again.
And 800 yards. Right. I don't know if he'll have 90, but he'll have. They're going to try to keep giving him the ball. This is his swan song that we've been told.
And until you can truly stop Travis Kelsey, right, you're going to continue to give him the ball.
But instead of maybe like trying to go find that offense again that maybe we never see again because of how great it really was, maybe they've like found something in the NFL that they have that they don't necessarily need that. And, you know, we talk about smoke screens around the draft. Like, yes, as a fan of football, I would love every game if it was 35-21 and the Chiefs were winning because there's nonstop action. There's maybe a little bit of, you know, biting the fingernails and the Chiefs take off like they used to, like the Golden State Warriors did. That Warriors offense lasted 3 years, and then it was never, you didn't see that again. And we have yet to see that style of offense because of how historic and how quickly it can be dissipated throughout the future of the game. So I don't necessarily know if they're going to have that, oh, there's once a game, the home run ball, and they're throwing the ball over the field, because they brought back Hunt, they brought back Pacheco, they didn't draft a running back to the seventh round. Mm-hmm. And that guy's probably going to be a return specialist or like maybe a few little gadget plays as well. But they're going to run the ball on short yardage. They're going to move the chains, and they're going to score, and they're going to play defense. That's exactly what this team is built for. That's what they drafted. That's what they patched up was defensive line. They went and got an offensive lineman that may or may not play this year. They've shown you where they've gone in the offseason with signings and bring back players. I just don't see a high-powered offense when I see this team. I see a team that has found something in the NFL that they know they can win by, because last year they weren't the most talented team. They won 15 games.
Yeah, they're a really good football team, and they know how to win, and that goes back to the Derek Jeter kind of conversation. He may not be the best player of all time, but he's one of the greatest winners of all time, and obviously Patrick Mahomes is as well. He'll probably go down as the greatest of all time, maybe not the greatest winner of all time because of Tom Brady standing in the way, but I'm not going to put any limitations on what they want to do, and I think the reason we have seen the lack of offense, and again, when you come out in 2018 and do what you did, you've set the bar very high. Now that's the expectation. They're never going to live up. Patrick Mahomes is never going to have a season like he did in 2018 with 5,050 unless we go to an 18 game schedule, right? Like that's the next way that Patrick Mahomes takes that game to the next level, because it was so impossible to do and the numbers were eye-popping, right? We can't expect 2018, but can you expect 2020? Can you expect 2019, 2021, that type of offense? And I think that's ultimately what they want to get back to, but it all starts along that offensive line. They really haven't been that star-studded offensive team where they're putting up points at will since Eric Fisher walked out the door. And since they've really had questions every other year, it seems like, at left tackle, or every year at left tackle, you get that left tackle spot solidified. It's one less thing you have to worry about. Then it gives time for your receivers to get down the field. That's why I think the offense has been held back for the last couple of years, because that offensive line just hasn't been to that level that we want it to be. Hopefully they have solved that left tackle position and Patrick Mahomes can get out there and feel comfortable and allow guys to run those deep routes. And if those guys are getting, you know, open deep, that's going to open it up for Travis Kelsey. You can get the offense moving in that direction. And as far as the seventh round running back, I'm not going to put limitations on that guy, because we didn't know what we had when they drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. He's turned out to be a household name, not just in Kansas City, but I think in the NFL. And so I think if you're in this offense and they believe that you can play in this offense, they're going to utilize you. And it doesn't matter if you're a seventh or a first round pick, they're looking for the best possible players out there that can give you the opportunity to open things up on offense. And that's what they're going to do. Their whole goal is to get back to where they were in the early days of Patrick Mahomes, to have the swan song for Travis Kelsey, to go out having some fun and to light the world on fire. And I've never been one to tell Patrick Mahomes no, right? Because every time you tell Patrick Mahomes no, he double birds you and goes out there and does things you've never seen before. And that's part of the reason why I'm excited for this season as well, because it is that last song. It is that final senior year. It is American Pie for the Kansas City Chiefs, essentially. And let's go and see what happens and have the greatest year of our lives or the greatest summer of our lives. And they're going to go out, they're going to give zero Fs, and they're going to have themselves the time of their lives. At least the two of them are. And you get everybody else involved, too. I think it's going to be a fun year to watch this team play.
No doubt. It could be a more fun year for the Royals if they go be bold, is what Bob Fesco wants them to do. He'll explain on the other side on 96.5 The the Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
On the Missouri side, I-70 westbound, new trouble past 18th Street. Accident blocks the left lane. Heavy from around 27th Street and building delays now. Lee's Summit, US 50 westbound, slow from 291 south up to 470. 71 northbound, slow from 87th up to Gregory. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
Do it on a Tuesday. It's a really good day if you're Mac or Bob, for obvious reasons. So I'll go play golf.
I just want to win, Jim.
No doubt about it. You are going to win today. I have full faith in you for that. The Royals, speaking of winning, they will play the Tampa Bay Rays tonight at 6:05. That means Vern's On Deck show starts at 5 o'clock. The sophomore album continues to roll through as they go play Tampa Bay. Michael Lorenzen, or Jared Lorenzen, whatever you want to call him. Michael Lorenzen, he gets the start tonight, 6:05, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Bobby Witt Jr.'s 19-game hit streak on the line.
Who's pitching for Tampa, did you say?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some guy that used to like teach industrial arts at the high school or something like that.
Nah, he's probably like a stud. We're going to look like a bunch of clowns. Well, yeah. But let's see.
Somebody here we've never seen against the Royals. Yeah, no runs and one hit. I mean, that's just the way it goes, right? That's baseball, as they like to say.
It is Taj Bradley.
Oh, I don't. Is he really like Milton?
2-1. Yeah, 2-1. 5.08 ERA. 1.38 WHIP. 27 strikeouts. 12 walks.
So you ought to pound that guy.
I've been pounded this week.
No doubt. I could even hold in the laugh. Speaking of pounding, you want this Royals team to pound the free or the trade market?
I do. Vern said something yesterday, kind of in passing, and he said, you know, we were talking about guys you could acquire, and Vern says, I don't know, eat some money maybe, and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of an interesting approach to be in a trade. If you're not going to have the players available, be willing to eat more of the money that the team or the player has remaining on his contract. And Nolan Arenado is a guy right now that is kind of available, right? He was available all offseason to be traded.
Wants to do business with St. Louis.
Well, I think when you have a good player, but it has nothing to do with the Cardinals. They're a bad team. Nobody's going. They're a hockey town without a football team. Quite honestly, if it just fell into the river and washed away, I wouldn't lose any sleep over St. Louis. Yeah. Take their Provel cheese with them and shove it up their ass. But so Nolan Arenado, I'm trying to do this guy a favor and getting him over to the right side of the state here. He's got 2 years left on his contract after this year. Kind of available right now. Dude's hitting 255, which would be the second best batter in the lineup right now. Hall of Famer in 2025 baseball,
the
hitting 225.
Yeah.
He's not a full-time guy yet, right? So until he gets a full-time. But like as Vern said yesterday, go eat some salary. And Nolan Arenado is that guy because he fills a need too, right? You kind of need a third baseman right now. How much better would your lineup be if you had him as your everyday third baseman? Then you could focus Jonathan India on playing left field, or maybe you just move him to second base and then put, you know, Michael Garcia out in left field. Like, it creates not only options for you, it creates some good options for you and makes you better at a position that you're currently not so great at. And I'm talking about third base. We need some help over there at that hot corner, as they like to say. Acquiring a guy like they did in 2014, like Ty Willingham, like that doesn't cut the mustard right now for this team. I loved Vern's comment yesterday about, I don't know, eat some salary maybe, and that's the way you're going to get guys. You got to be bold in this situation. And the other thing that Vern kind of talked about yesterday that has me thinking Nolan Arenado is the right fit is, like, we got a pretty good rotation going on right now, right? I mean, these guys are top notch. You're not going to get a rotation that pitches this well. You have to try to maximize what this rotation is doing right now. As we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, World Series rotation, minor league lineup. You go out there and make a bold move, get Nolan Arenado, be willing to eat the last 2 years of his contract. And again, I don't care about the contract prices for players in professional sports. If teams make moves, they can do it. It's not my concern. I don't know why fans concern themselves with salaries and if they can afford guys or not. You go out there and you make that move, fans will be excited about it. The interest will be at a higher level than it is right now. And you're positioning your team to really challenge for the postseason. And you're not wasting this pitching right now. And with 2027 becoming a year that a lot of people are saying could be a lockout, could be a washed year, why not go balls to the wall and go for it right now and do something bold, do something like the Royals have never really done before, and that's go out and get a superstar player before or at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the wish, right? And then, like you said, Ty Willingham seems to be the guy. Like, last year you lost all those arms and those bats, and you went and got, you know, Gurriel and Tommy Pham and guys like that that were just kind of like, you know, all together were one, but all did one certain thing better, and they could just use them strategically with the Royals lineup. Like, I'm all for that. Obviously, it's really early.
Sure it is.
So, like, there's always one team that kind of bucks the trend and gets somebody way too early or starts the trade, you know, before everybody else does. Normally, it's New York or it's the Giants or somebody like that that goes and gets somebody to just you wouldn't think would be, like, a name that goes to that team. Arenado's interesting. The Cardinals are interesting because obviously Mozeliak is, I think, stepping down after this year.
That was my next point. They got a new GM taking over right now.
And Arenado was unhappy because they didn't make any moves in the offseason. They let Goldschmidt walk. They were done with him. He's now tearing it up in New York. Arenado, they didn't add anything
to
him.
In New York. You're playing in St. Louis versus New York. Of course you're going to play better. It's a better place.
Take that Provel cheese, showed up your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like Provel cheese.
I know, it's pretty good.
But like,
it's a suppository.
But like the thing that the Royals need is what I go back to Vern last year, is the toughest thing to acquire, which kind of feeds to your theory, if they do this, it'd be nuts. But what does fit them that's against everything at the trade deadline is they have the hardest things to acquire. They have a bullpen and they have a starting rotation. So they don't have to worry about any of that. Now, in order to go get something, you have to give up something of value, right? Like,
which is why I think you probably got to eat salary, because there ain't much to give up in the minor league system right now for the Royals.
Right, and people are going to be funny and cute and say, well, what do you want for Cags? Like, oh, not
well,
a chance.
Of course, every team should be calling and saying, hey, we want Cags. What are you willing to have back in return? You know?
And there's guys like Crosses down there as well, and, you know, other names that could be somebody that they could move. But they do have, when it comes to acquiring something, they do kind of have the easier thing to go get, and that is a bat. Like, pitch arms are
hard
to find at the trade deadline because people don't want to give them up, because at the end of the day, it's always like, we need pitching to get there. The Royals are showing that they have the pitching to get there. They just have nothing on offense. And I don't even know if it would take somebody like an Arenado or a Willingham, like you had mentioned before.
Well, no, Ty Willingham was that guy they got in 14 and was like a pinch hit guy.
Josh Willingham.
Yeah, whatever
and,
his name was.
No, yeah. And
I don't want that. That's not making a move.
No. Yeah, I get that. But like, you've also got to like wait and see too, to see what teams are falling out of it. Like, what's Pittsburgh going to do? Like, is that team going to blow it up?
Because, is O'Neill Cruz available? Can we go get him?
I mean,
I would trade Cags for him right now, because that guy's proven at the big league level.
Yeah, I'd probably that would haunt my dreams. But yeah, it would be something like that. So I mean, I think that that's kind of where it's at. Where, like, if you look at this Royals roster, like, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you're realizing what you're going to need to take that next step, but you're also seeing what you have to make that next step as you go back to World Series rotation, minor league, you know, lineup. And you have the superstar. You got to think Sal's gotten his way out of it after that doubleheader.
It feels like it. Yeah.
He's kind of starting to come back. So you have that. But, you know, the biggest problem is like, you have that guy, if any, who's not hitting. And yeah, I assume that Mark Canna will eventually come down to earth and not hit 337.
Yeah,
he'll hit
up
like, you know, 260, 265. But, you know, you bring in a third baseman like Arenado, like, I think that's where Michael Garcia plays. And I think you put India at second, and then your outfield, you have Cannon left, Isbell in center, and then right field's going to be, one night it's going to be Renfro, the other night it's going to be somebody else, and that's just the way it's going to go. But like, until
how much longer can you keep running Massey out there?
He's got too many options, and I don't think that he's going to be up here if he keeps hitting the way he is.
Right.
He's going to get sent down. But that's where I think you see the shift of, because seeing India play left field, I don't like that as much as I think I should. And then you put him at second, you put Garcia at third, and then you run that platoon of an outfield with Waters in right, or Waters in center, and Isbell in right, and Canna in left. And that's what it is until either A, somebody gets called up, or B, Sherman's like, all right, JJ, I've got a check, I've got a budget, it should fit these four players, let's go get one of them. If one of them is Arenado, then yeah, that's fine. That's a veteran leader at that lineup position that can also play third base, and it makes your obviously your team deeper, your lineup better.
Oh, huge.
So yeah,
difference.
I mean, like, I'd be interested in that, because you're seeing what's going on with your team right now. You have the pitching. You have a top five rotation, top two in the American League, and you have the top, bottom, or the bottom two in lineups.
So yeah.
You got to be better than the Rockies, and you got to be better than the White Sox. And that's right now the competition you're in. One is the worst team that we've ever seen last year, and the other one is trending to be one of the worst teams we've ever seen in the history of the game.
Yeah, they're on pace for 23 wins out in Colorado. And so that's kind of where the Royals are. And they're still floating under 500 at this point in time, right? As we get ready to flip that calendar, you kind of know where you are. I don't think it's any secret that the Royals right now are void of a bat. Again, a lot of teams in baseball are void of bats. It's not a really good year when it comes to hitting in Major League Baseball. But if there's a bat available, even at a 255 clip like Nolan Arenado, and he's got two more years on his contract, you got a major need at third base. That's a guy you go out there and get. And if you were to send Massey down, who's coming up? Lofton? And does Lofton really move the needle and make you that much better at the big league level? I don't know the answer to that question. So I think the help, the reinforcements have to come from outside the organization, and getting a Josh Willingham or some slappy that you never heard of, that's not making a move. That doesn't count. Making a move is going out and getting a legitimate player like they did when they got Johnny Cueto, or they did when they got Ben Zobrist. We've got a window here in Kansas City. You got to capitalize on that. The first 30 games are done. You know what your team is about. The next 30 to 40 games will be spent evaluating some of these other teams and where they're at and figuring out how you can get yourself better. And hopefully a month from now, we're starting to talk about teams that are out of it, teams that we can poach players from, guys that may be available at the trade deadline, and the Royals start kind of getting moving in that direction. And hopefully they tread water for that next month as well, too, and the starting pitching keeps them in games where they don't have to go out and score a lot to win.
Max, a little side note is that Arenado has a no-trade clause.
He does, but he was willing to waive that this offseason.
Yeah,
he was. He had a list of teams, yes.
Yeah, he was willing to waive that this offseason, and I'm sure
Yankees, Dodgers, Giants.
Yep, so that's it.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah, like
Padres, where, Red Sox,
where he wants to or does not want to go
where
to.
Where he will go.
List of teams that he would go to.
He would because I think the Yankees wanted him, and I don't think he would waive his. I don't think he was waiving his no trade clause for the Yankees this offseason. So it just depends what the player wants to do. You're in a situation like St. Louis; they're not winning games. You got a chance to go to a winner and be part of something good and play next to Bobby Witt Jr. You're probably going to waive that no trade clause if Kansas City's on that list.
Yeah.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One word on the Royals tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Win.
Just win, baby.
I just want to win, Jen.
I mean, you're playing Tampa. I mean, there's not a lot of excitement in that. It's at a minor league ballpark. Take care of business.
Are they going to? How much? When are they moving?
Next year.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I saw like Orlando's now coming to the plate with $1.5 billion to build the stadium. John Sherman, you listening? Kansas and Missouri can't figure this thing out. Orlando's coming to the place with $1.5 billion of money down there, plus the billion that John's willing to kick in. There's $2.5 billion to move this thing to Orlando right now. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
I mean, look what happened in D.C. yesterday. They got their stadium deal done.
Yep.
The Bears are getting ready to sue to get out of their lease so they can move to a new stadium. And now you got Orlando putting up $1.5 billion of money saying, we're ready for a baseball team. John Sherman's pledged $1 billion for the Royal Stadium himself. And so you combine that. That's a baseball stadium in Orlando. We'll see what happens.
Damn. Mirror image is two words, but that is what you're playing tonight. Tampa Bay 14-14 on the season. They have similar numbers. They're obviously better on the offensive side, but their pitching is still kind of the same. They're 6th, 7th in ranks when it comes to hits, earned run average. 14-14, Tampa Bay 3rd in the AL East. Kansas City 14-15, 3rd in the AL Central. You're playing yourself, but you're playing them in a minor league ballpark. You need to break out of this slump of this offense. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready for it. Let's see what happens. But, yeah, you're playing a mirror image of yourself.
Yep, keep the hot streak alive. One word on Eric Spoelstra last night. The Miami Heat got swept by the Cavaliers. It was an absolute clinic. They were down by 50 points at halftime.
60, I thought, at one point, too, right?
They got down to 66 or so. It was abysmal. It was an atrocity. It was an embarrassment to the game of basketball.
What channel was that on?
TNT?
Yeah, TNT. James Maysmith was rolling TNT. Around. One word on Eric Spoelstra after getting swept. This is what he has to say. Only his third time in his long career getting swept.
But damn, it was humbling. You know, this series,
It's humbling. These last two games were embarrassing. But Cleveland's also a very good team. We won whatever we won. They won 65. We're as irrational as we usually are, thinking that we have a chance to win this series. And they showed us why, you know, we weren't ready, you know.
Refreshing. It's good to hear truth in sports. We'll get to another truth bomb here in a second. But I like it when you know, folks tell the truth and as opposed to trying to sugarcoat something. They got their ass kicked in that series.
Vacation.
Yeah, Cancun.
Hearing that response, that dude's ready
Galveston.
Yeah, get out of there, man. Like, get out of Miami, get out of South Beach, go to Aruba, Jamaica, wherever you want to take you. Get on vacation, because that's a guy that, like you said, humbling. That's a knockout punch, man.
It was, man.
That's a street fight where you think you got the guy, your girlfriend's there watching, you get knocked out on one hit. It's like, what do we do from here? Like,
you like that dude on the golf course the other day got beat up in front of his wife, you know?
Better pick up the pace of play, Randy.
I mean, I like it. It doesn't change the way that I feel about Eric Spoelstra. He will never be in that same category as a Pop or a Pat Riley, but should be. He's a great coach.
Yeah, great leader.
He's unbelievable. And I'm not just talking the NBA. I'm talking sports in general. This is one of the best coaches in professional sports. His team was, I mean, you dealt with that Jimmy Butler crap all year long. So I'm sure they're glad just to go to Galveston now and be done with this thing.
Yeah, he's done more with less over the last few years. It finally came to the point where it was done, and they needed some roster reconstruction.
It's fine. It happens.
I'm excited to see what they do.
I feel like he's like the McVay of the NBA. Like, he's not young as you think, obviously. Like, McVay's like not even 40
yet. But
when
he came on the scene, he was.
Yeah. And he won, and he had a system, and he had a believable, like, way of himself.
Yeah,
and then
we
always talk about, like, Popovich and, you know, all these other older coaches in the league. You're like, here's this young dude that does it differently and is successful at it, but let's just not talk about it.
Well, but here's the difference in all that. It's very much Andy Reid, Brett Veach. He's working with Pat Riley, right? Pat Riley's going to get all the credit in the world for that. Oh, Pat Riley did this, Pat Riley. Constantly under Pat Riley's shadow. Same thing, Andy Reid. Meanwhile, you got Brett Veach doing all this stuff, but he's under Andy Reid's shadow because they're two of the greatest that have ever done their jobs that are running these organizations now.
And he's got to win without LeBron. He's been to the finals, but he's not won without him. But one word on sticking in the NBA, one word on Charles Barkley. This was from not last night, two nights ago, following the what was a rather, well, you'll hear it.
And two of them have been by the Indiana Pacers over Milwaukee.
Sleepy baby.
Yeah.
Sleep nights, man.
I'm bored, brother. I ain't gonna even lie. That wasn't even worth watching.
That was after the Pacers-Bucks game where the Pacers dropped the Bucks.
I'll use the same term, refreshing, to hear that, because it's good when an analyst is honest with the listeners. If a game isn't good, don't try to make it a good game. If the team isn't playing good, don't tell me about their hard hit rate and their exit velo. Like, you're insulting the intelligence of fans. Fans are smart. They know. You don't need Charles Barkley up there on set trying to, you know, polish a turd. A game's bad. It's okay to admit that. Fans aren't stupid. They understand what they're watching. I just don't like when broadcasters try to insult the intelligence of the fans. Like, this is really good. They're 7-21, Steve.
It's informative. It lets us know that you don't need a 7-game series in the first round.
Yes, then that's another great point, Dusty.
I mean, like, go back to 5 in this round. This is.
Is every one of these 3-1?
It'd be like adding another.
No, not everyone.
Not all of them. There's
tonight is Clippers Nuggets is 2-2.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the only one?
Yeah, that may be.
Because everyone I've seen 3-1, 3-1, 3-1.
Which is crazy because they're great. Like, Pistons Knicks is a great 3-1 last night. Warriors Rock, great 3-1. Like, but it's just 3-1.
Both one seeds swept their competition.
Yep.
They both went 4 games. One seed Oklahoma City, done. The one seed Cleveland Cavaliers, done.
Are they debating now, is there too much rest between the first and second rounds?
We do this every year.
It's
rest or rust.
Rinse, repeat. Yeah.
Of course.
No, I think it's informative. Go back to 5 games in the first round.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to win a 5-game series, too. I think it'd be more intense. It'd be fun. One word on Bill Simmons yesterday, and his podcast came out with Ryan Russillo. He said, you know, like, I don't know if you're not having fun watching Steph Curry, who's having Steph Curry nights. You know, I don't know what you're doing.
Are there people that don't like
Steph Curry?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like eating a piece of candy.
It's like chocolate cake. It's like apple pie.
Exactly.
Warm apple pie a la mode style.
Uh-huh. Just tell your mother we ate it all.
Exactly. Who doesn't like watching Steph? Again, like, I'm not an NBA fan, but I
don't know, man.
But I'm sure there's haters out there. You saw that one commenter on Twitter, "I don't like Steph Curry. I'm butthurt."
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was some Cavs fan was the first comment like on there that like went into some nerd like conversation about why he doesn't like to watch Steph Curry. If you're watching that, you need a break from sports, pal. Go talk to a girl.
Yeah, they blew a 3-1 lead 9 years ago. Like, come on, man. Who cares? Steph Curry's fun.
Yeah, like every kid loves Steph Curry. Yeah. I guess I just don't understand. There are certain things I guess I should understand more. Like there's always going to be people that hate somebody no matter what they do because it's jealousy. And you're jealous that Steph Curry is just in fuego and drops dimes like it's nobody's business. And you wish you could do something like
that. All he wants to do is shoot threes. He's ruining the game.
Okay, really quick before
Chooses
we get
out. Mouthpiece, really arrogant.
This is yes or no, not one word. Yes or no, Nick Chubb.
No.
Okay. Did you see the workout video?
Who cares?
Yes. I mean, he fits what you're doing this year. Like, he's essentially a Pacheco and Kareem Hunt in one body.
Do it.
Why not? Kick the tires
exactly,
of Kareem
why
Hunt
not, man?
with Nick Chubb.
I'm in.
Of course, because you know his name. And he jumped over a box.
He jumped over a box, bro.
Who's to say that's not AI?
No, Nick Chubb, come on.
Even AI can't make up Chubb's body type. It's
true. I don't know, man. AI's doing a lot of things these days.
I mean, could you imagine Holtis, Chubb?
Yes.
Drinking the nectars of the, gargling the nectars of the end zone gods as Chubb? Like, that's just a call that you save.
Fantastic.
And you never get rid of it.
When was the last time he was a relevant player?
2 years
ago,
before he had the gruesome injury of his knee.
Yeah.
And then last year
he broke his foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up on the other side, we do get into what is a Tuesday threesome with one Bob Fesco. Sounds gross, but he makes it interesting. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Music to play for our next topic, which is what we do on Tuesdays. We go to our Tuesday threesome, and Mr. Fesco, this is your bit.
All right, here we go. Here are three things. Just pick one. It doesn't matter what it is.
I don't even need to hear the other two.
The first one I had yesterday. That's why it's on the list. It is a Reese's Pieces and Fluff Blizzard.
Fluff?
Mm-hmm.
Like the marshmallow fluff?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes.
Okay.
Shador Sanders.
I'm good.
And Aaron Rodgers.
I've consumed enough Shador Sanders for the next year. I think I'm good on that.
Have
like,
you?
Yeah, it was like going to New Orleans. I don't need to see Etouffee for another 8 months.
Oh, you're going to see Shador Sanders more than you want to see Shador Sanders.
Yeah, they had New Orleans-style menu at Applebee's. I didn't walk in the door.
No?
Nope, I'm good on that. I don't need any Aaron Rodgers. I'm good on that.
And you're going to get a lot of that coming up here really, really fast with Aaron Rodgers because ESPN just had a story, Rodgers regret, talking about the Jets, I guess.
Jeez.
The Pittsburgh owner came out and goes, yeah, I think we're going to sign Aaron Rodgers. You know, we feel pretty good that that's still going to happen. So you're going to get a lot of Aaron Rodgers. The two most talked about quarterbacks in the NFL this year are going to be Shador Sanders, who may end up in Canada. No, the Toronto Argonauts have the rights now to Shador Sanders. Yeah, they took the rights to Shador Sanders. And so he may end up there. Who knows?
We're going
to
talk. He's really good. He got drafted by two teams.
In two different leagues. How many other guys have done that, right?
What's your talent?
So Shador Sanders and Aaron Rodgers will dominate the next 5 months of NFL coverage at least. And then we go into the season and see where it is. And if Shador is starting, then that's a story. If he's not starting, when is he going to start? That becomes the story. These are the guys that move the needle. So you got your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and Fluff Blizzard.
Oh, it's cup, not pieces?
Whatever the pieces, yeah. The Reese's
That's a big switch because not a pieces guy, but big cup guy.
I'm trying to think what it was. It was just said
you
Reese's.
You just blacked out when you took the first bite. That's
that
what happened
fantastic.
To you.
Fantastic, yeah. I mean,
Dad?
That was
Dad?
Great. I mean,
yeah.
Just Dad? It was so good, yeah. Fantastic. Great Blizzard.
Sounds really good.
You are a chocolate peanut butter lord.
Oh, I love it. I could eat that all day, man.
That's your thing.
It is. I love it. So that's what those are your choices. What are you going with, Mac?
Yeah, give me the Blizzard. Are you kidding me? I don't want to deal with any of these guys.
Is it unanimous, right?
100%.
It's unanimous for us. But it is not going to be unanimous when it comes to the four-letter network or yep. anybody else who's talking about this stuff. And what's going to happen, is instead of everybody focusing on the blizzard and the Reese's peanut butter and the fluff and the ice cream and all that good stuff.
I just don't like it being called fluff.
Fluff or nutter? I mean, would you do you prefer that? Because that's what it's called.
That's what the blizzard's called? A fluffer nutter blizzard?
It said Reese's peanut butter and fluff. Look at their menu. I don't know what it was called. It was something to that level. Marshmallow Ooh. Fluff or whatever you want to call it.
That sounds like 99 cents at Hy-Vee.
you could get a whole jar of that, yeah.
That's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, the Reese's fluffer nutter.
Yeah, there it is. It's fantastic.
Didn't know that was the title.
Yeah. Fantastic. So what I'm getting at is you're going to love that to the day you die. You're going to want that. You're going to want that. You're going to want that. But you're not going to be served that. You're going to be served and you're going to be overserved like you were at a bar. You're going to be overserved. Aaron Rodgers right there on the TV right now. And you're going to be oversold and overserved on Shador Sanders. One guy who's never played a down in the NFL and may never be any good in the NFL. And a guy who's washed. But the moral of the story is as much as you want that blizzard, you're still clicking on that Aaron Rodgers stuff. You're still clicking on the Shador Sanders stuff. And when people say, why are you talking about that? Why are you discussing those guys? Because you've shown us you want it. You've shown us you're interested in it. It moves the needle. That's why everybody is talking about Shador Sanders and not Cam Ward. I know there's people that are like, wait a second, Cam Ward was the number one pick of this draft, and nobody mentioned Cam Ward. Like, that guy did not get a minute to be glazed on Thursday night. It was immediately the trade, yeah. Travis Hunter, when Shador Sanders going to be drafted? And then where's Aaron Rodgers going to sign? When's Aaron Rodgers going to sign?
Who went fourth and fifth in the draft, Mac? Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That guy who went Top to Carolina five. As their wide receiver, right? Like,
Tet McMillan went to Carolina.
And
right.
And Will Campbell was at the
Will Campbell with the Patriots. Yep.
Was defend the rest of my life blocking for Drake May.
Drake May.
Sure you will.
Did he say that?
He cried on stage.
Protect the rest of my life. Drake May, that's his job, baby.
God.
I'm in.
Glad I missed that.
I'm in.
Drake May's like my best friend. He's like, dude, that guy cried for me. Hasn't even met me yet. Oh,
that guy better not miss a block.
Seriously.
Yeah. Seriously, like, I had no idea. Like, because we were at the landing and caught up, and, you know, the Travis Hunter trade happened, and then Abdul Carter went, and I kind of lost interest after that until the Chiefs came back around. Yeah. But let's be honest here, man. This is what – look, I mean, should the Steelers go all in on Aaron Rodgers? It's been a topic now on SportsCenter for the last 5 minutes, and then
– You want to watch the news?
I don't. And then the news sucks. And then when are we going to see Shador Sanders? And those are going to be the two biggest topics of the NFL this season. It's not going to be about the Chiefs. It's not going to be about their offense. It's not going to be about the fun with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It's not going to be about Philly running it back. It's going to be about those two quarterbacks until we get to kickoff of that season.
Did you see the second text?
Oh, that's perfect.
From the 405. Rob Brenton thinks the NFL draft is washed.
That's fantastic. Respect the text.
That is good. I do like that. Yeah. This one may have been. Who knows? Yeah. You know, like, I like what the Chiefs did in the draft, but we don't know about this. There wasn't that star player. And the only guy that anybody was talking about was the 144th pick.
So, go ahead. I was just saying, who is least talked about, Cam Ward or Eric Fisher? That's a number one pick. Who was talked about less?
Cam Ward.
I think he's right about that.
I think so, too.
I think it is, yeah. And he's a quarterback.
There was no Shador in that draft. There was no distractions.
Yeah, there was nothing in that draft.
It was a really bad draft.
Yeah, it was like Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel.
Yeah, they just showed Luke Jokel right after that.
Yeah, there was no there was no discussion of anything. Like, Eric Fisher got his flowers, and Andy Reid picking first his first year in Kansas City. Like, there were a lot of good storylines. They had just acquired Alex Smith. Now they got a guy that can block for Alex Smith, so... Yeah, I've never seen a first overall pick thrown to the wayside like Cam Ward was.
Love it. Now I don't have any just under the radar. I got to go back to the dessert treat from Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Who were you driving?
Yeah.
So you ordered it through the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you order it with your chest out?
No.
Okay. Because I feel like I would order that really quiet. Like,
you get the fluffer, I'll do the fluffer nutter.
However you say it into the speaker.
I've got one fluffer nutter. I'm like, okay, like, let's...
Large.
No, mini. Mini's enough.
He got a mini fluffer.
No, it is. It is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need a large. Like, that's that's over a pint of ice cream, I think.
Yeah,
like,
it's ridiculous.
You eating those Ben and Jerry's? Yeah, probably. Those would have Ben and Jerry cups you get in the freezer at Quick Trip. Like, I'll just eat half.
Yeah.
And you're like hearing the scrape of the bottom. You're like, son of a gun.
Yeah. So you got to go the mini. That's the way to go. It's still $5 for a mini, though. I mean, like, good Lord, ice cream prices.
816, usually a fluffer nutter costs me an $80 dinner and a couple of drinks.
Yeah. And mine was better.
Yeah, exactly.
Your guys' slander of the NFL draft is comical.
Well, nobody's slandering the NFL draft.
Yeah.
We're telling you what happened. Like, how did you get slander out of that? What? Open your ears. I mean, that's just a dumb text. Slandering the draft. Oh, because you don't agree with exactly what we're saying, so it's slander. I got it.
We much rather talk draft than Royals because now it's Royals for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm. We much.
We talked the compelling things in the draft. Shedeur Sanders is going to be compelling. How did he handle his first meeting? You know that's going to be the question.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a fluffer nutter sandwich that's...
Oh, no. Yeah. You didn't know that?
It's peanut butter and marshmallow fluff on white bread.
Oh, yeah.
How do you talk?
You got your mouth? That.
That's true.
With your mouth. I know. I'm aware of that.
Well, you asked a question. I gave you an answer.
Well, I'm going to piss this texter off because we're not going to talk the NFL draft. We're going to talk the Royals and their superstar who has a 19-game hitting streak that you can hear tonight on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.